just thank everyone who has called, who has sent their love. I truly, truly, truly appreciate. I do not take it for granted. Amen. Like they've all said, just before people think I'm very over serious, if you bring your check, I will take it. Okay? M is for million, B is for billion. Just bring it first and see, and you see if I will not take it. Just bring it first. Amen. All right, from tomorrow, 3rd of July, we're going to be starting our week of praying with fasting. Can we celebrate that? All of you that don't like to fast, celebrate it. Celebrate it. Amen. Amen. All right, so the prayer schedule, the ushers are going to get across to us. We're just going to provide before we get into the week of. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, that some of these go ahead with prayer and fasting. Fasting does not change God. Fasting changes you. You don't fast to improve God. God is constant. God is already in all things, all sufficient. Fasting is slowing down to fast forward. Okay? And I believe very strongly that in this season, the Lord has led us as a church. So it's not an option. There's no option of if you like fasting. You know, everybody that is called by this commission, get into you that state in your mind and wait on God. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. They run and are not weary. They walk and not faint. What fasting does for you is it helps you become more sensitive. It helps you become more alert in the spirit. The deception of it is that people are very particular about how tired their bodies are. You know, how tired. I mean, have you noticed that sometimes you're tired of work, but you don't close until it's time to close? You're completely tired at 2, you're tired, but you must be in the office still. So please stop making silly, unprofessional, unspiritually professional excuses for not maturing in the things of the spirit. Too many 21st century believers have justifiable reasons why they are lazy in their spirits, why they don't pray, why they don't read the Bible. Everybody has a rev around it that is my heart that God is looking at. That's why they don't pray. I hear these things and I know that in the next 10 years, if believers continue the way they are going, people will not pray any longer. People will not give and say, well, God says it's the leading in my heart. How do you notice that the people that are never led to give, ever, even if the Holy Spirit is meant for God to threaten them? And it happened in the days of old, the children of Israel. These people became so stingy as a people that God called a fast. God called Jeremiah to call a fast, that they might fast, that they might have to give so that God could bless them. The fasting wasn't to improve them. The fasting was they had become too stingy. And God says, I call a fast so that the people that don't have to give, that breakfast and lunch that they normally want to eat, they should have it and give to somebody else. But you see, that's not our case. We know that when we wait on God, we are built up in our most holy faith. Amen. And I want you to take this seriously. Let it be a time, let it be a week of consecration for you. Let it be a time to seek the face of God. Lagos does not make it easy for you to seek the face of God completely. Okay, so I know you will go to work. I know you would do what you have to do, but we'll meet here at 5:45 to 7 p.m. So we have 1 hour, 15 minutes to pray every single day. I would like to encourage us all. You know, don't start from today to give yourself reasons why you can't make it. There are certain things that you're trusting God for, and you're not willing to do anything. You know, when we say God has done all, the grace of God is sufficient, what is it's up to you to take what the Lord has done. Please never you get confused when you hear people say they teach grace or they to assume that it means that there's nothing the believer is supposed to do. He should just sit back, carry his leg up, and then God, you know, everything is done, but you must take. When God gave them the land, when the walls of Jericho came down, those that did not run in did not get anything. Those that did not go to take territory did not get. So every single person here is blessed. Is the man? Is the acceptance? Is the receiving of those things that setting yourself aside spiritually for seasons of waiting on God? That's what it does for you. Amen. All right. So we're just going to pray for that schedule in our hands, and we're just going to ask God that in this week, change me by your Spirit, improve me by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. For 1 minute, just bow your heads and pray. And just commit yourself to this week of praying with fasting. Beyond the things that the church has written out on a sheet of paper. I want it to be a time of consecration for you. Ask God what you want to see happen in your life this week. Father, I want an evolution in my understanding. I want manifestations in the dimensions of faith, in the dimensions of worship, in the dimensions of thanksgiving, of praise, of prayer. The Bible says, covet spiritual things. Please, as all eyes are closed, all hearts are bowed, ask God for something in this week. Say, God, establish me in righteousness. Father, build me my most holy faith. Father, teach me patience. If there's a vice you've dealt with all this while, say, in this season, Lord, as I wait upon you, Father, purge me. Father, cleanse me. Father, Lord, build me my most holy faith in the name of Jesus. That in this week, I become deeper. In this week, I become faster. I understand things clearer in the name of Jesus. My walk with you becomes seamless, becomes fluid, even in this week of praying with fasting in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the grace to wait upon you. We ask, even as we come to the eve of this week of praying, that over everyone connected in the Liberty House, physically and electronically, we pray for them that in this week we are transformed in the name of Jesus. Our hearts are open, our ears are clear, our hearts understand. That this week we will have eyes that see, we will have ears that hear, and we will have hearts that perceive what the Lord is doing in the name of Jesus Christ. It will not be an exercise in the flesh. It will not be an exercise in futility. We will wait on you. We will see what you will do in our lives. Thank you, God, for hearing us. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so just have that in your Bible or in your for those of you who don't read your Bible every day, don't put it in your Bible. All right, put it in your iPad or something. If you want the soft copy, leave your email address with Sam and we'll ship that to you so that you can always have it on your tablet or wherever you go. So tomorrow we'll meet here by 5:45 to spend an hour 15 minutes praying. Amen. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 1, 1 Chronicles. Throughout this month, the Lord has put in our hearts as a topic for contemplation, the laws of stewardship, the laws of stewardship. And I believe very strongly that as we get into these seasons of teachings, that the Lord will alter us even further in the name of Jesus. That certain things, what the Word of God is supposed to do is to give clarity. It's to help you understand clearly where you are in the things of the Spirit. The Bible says the sons of Issachar were great, not because they fought battles, but because they understood the times and the seasons of life. Too many Christians do not know where they are in life. That's why they complain like other people. You know, if you knew that God would provide for you, you would not join somebody else who says there's lack to say there is lack. True or false? Most believers don't even know what the Word of God says for them. And that's why we must get ourselves under the influence of the timely Word of God. For every single time, every season in your life, you must keep asking God, what are you saying? Sometimes, if it's Pastor Bello's season of thanksgiving, it could be my time of intercession. So, I can love the fact that Pastor Bello is thanking God, but I never lose sight of the fact that it's my time to just stay in the trenches and pray. Never let another believer's experience cloud your own judgment concerning your own experience with God. Thank God for what they are doing with their life. Thank God for their blessings. But always seek to find what God is saying to you and for you in this season. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. Sorry, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Please write these scriptures down, and it sets the tone for the things we're going to be learning in the next few minutes before the communion. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of what? Not into here, you beware of what? For a man's life consists wanteth not what? In the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Is that in your Bible? A man's life does not consist, meaning that when a man's life is going to be mentioned before God, what he had or did not have will not matter. It is to other men that what you have matters. Never lose sight of the big picture. This world is too small for you to want to die on top of it. Let me give you perspective. For those of you who did geography, I studied geography and then I did geoinformatics, which I've never done for one day since I graduated. I studied satellite imagery. There are about 3 billion solar systems. 3 billion solar systems. Right? One of the solar systems is called the Milky Way, which is where the Earth is. Around where the Earth is. In the Milky Way, there are 300 million stars. 300 million stars. One of the smallest stars is the star nearest to the Earth. One of the smallest out of the 300 million. One of the smallest is the one closest to us. Right? The sun is, I think, 10,000, I can't remember, 10,000, 100,000 times bigger than the Earth. I think it's 10,000 times bigger than the Earth. Now, on the Earth, there are five. How many continents are on the Earth? Okay. Let's work with seven. For security reasons, there's just seven continents on the Earth. Now, Africa is one of the seven continents on the Earth, right? How many countries are in Africa? Some people are still looking at 1900 map. How many countries are in Africa? 53. All right. It's okay. Just calm down. Stewardship, calm down. All right. So there's 53 countries in Africa. Nigeria is one. Please remember that we are still dealing with perspective. Right, Lagos is one of how many countries in Nigeria, states in Nigeria? 36. Lekki is 54 countries in Africa. Lekki is one of the, how many local governments? Lekki is not a local government. What is it? Etiosa. Lekki is what? A place, it's a region in Etiosa. Then, Idado is a village. Okay, it's a town in Etiosa, in Lekki. Then there is Lanre Olumide, that is a street in Agungi. Then number 9B is one building on Lanre Olumide in Idado. Then there is an auditorium. There are 3 buildings inside 9B. Studio, office, main hall. Then there are 200 seats in one of the 3. And then there is you on one of the seats of the 200 of the 3 buildings of the one house on the one street in one town in one region, in one state, in one country, in one continent, on one planet that is almost like dust in space. This should give you perspective of how really useless you are on the grand scheme of things. That you want to die until everybody on your street, boys must know so I don't blow. Listen, if you know how infinitesimally infinite you are in the grand scheme of things, you would focus on being on relevance, influence, impact. If you know how infinitesimal you are, you know, people, there was a guy that died recently, one money boy, and they buried him with hundreds of thousands of dollars.
What happened the following week? What happened the following week? Graveyard rats busted the place open. And the guy was still lying down there. They were stealing from him. They removed his ring, removed everything he was wearing. See, if you don't understand how hopeless life is, some people want to live, they think they would take maximum 90 years. Maybe you've overdone 110 years. By then, you're a vegetable to everybody. You're just a nuisance. They're just moving you from sibling to sibling. You know, they're just enduring you. Now you can't control your bowels. You know, it's when you are finished weaving, you know. Oh, you have weaved on yourself. If you really step back to think about how on this statement Jesus Christ made, he said a man's life does not consist of what he has. I've seen billionaires reduced to a wheelchair in an old people's home and do not know what is happening to their wealth. Because their sons are even tired. They're praying for them to die. If you do not understand that now is all that you have. What you have is now. That's why faith is everything is now. You don't have any hold on tomorrow. You don't have any hold. The Bible says because he lives, I can face. The only reason you can face tomorrow is because outside of God, there is, you don't know anything about tomorrow. Some of you don't even know anything about 3 o'clock. I don't know what's happening at 12 noon today. People that died, if we can ask them, when you get to heaven, you ask them. They did not know. If they died at 2 o'clock, they did not know at 1 o'clock that they were going to die. Except you're on death row. And if you see people that are on death row, they have died before they kill them. Because the knowledge of the day you will die can kill you already. So when they tell you December 9th, 2017, we will put you in a gas chamber and we will kill you. Most of them already died before that day. So Jesus says that a man's life, the reason why I'm taking time to explain this is you need to understand the gravity of the word called stewardship. The place we read in Chronicles talks about everything belonging to God. And it brings me to the topic of our contemplation today. And is the first law of stewardship is law one. The law of rightful ownership. Write it down. The law of rightful ownership. What do you really own? What is really your own? What is really yours? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. Let me just read two more scriptures so that we just have a lot of scriptural foundations then we'll teach. 1 Timothy 6, 7. The Bible says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. Is that in your Bible? And it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. Even the most spiritual of us was born naked. True or false? Nothing. You actually don't own anything. You know, it's a subconscious plot of man to give himself relevance and importance. Money, legal system, job. You know, it's man's way of trying to feel important. But you see, when you begin to look at life from God's perspective, that's why God is completely confused at how another man can hate another man from another tribe and you don't know him. You've never seen him before. You just hate him. Do you really think holistically? So I hate Igbo men. So I hate Hausa people. So I hate Calabar people. You know, in Nigeria, Calabar is everybody ethnic. So instead of saying ethnic, just say Calabar for all of them, for the region. Do you know in Igbo land, how many dialects are in Igbo? There are some languages in Igbo land that is a mystery. But yet, God is saying that, can't you understand that you don't own anything? What did you do in the process of deciding who your parents are going to be? Let me ask you. What was your active participation and contribution? Think about it. So you can hate your parents for all you want. If they didn't give birth to you, please note that you would never have been born. No other person could have given birth to you. When I was small, I used to wish Akoga and gave birth to me. My younger brother believed that Akoga was from Imo State, from Owerri. And it wasn't a bad thought. I just felt, how can someone be this big, this strong, winning all the titles in the world, and then I don't know him? So it's to claim him into your life. Amen. He says, for we brought what into this world? I want all of you to say it. For you brought what? Please shout what you brought into this world. Please shout what you brought into this world. Those of you that are not coming now that you can't eat certain things, if you know what you ate as a child, because they're not telling you the truth, if you know what they fed you, some people, their muscle, you think is exercise. They were eating eba from 3 months. You didn't have control over what you ate. As a child, all of you now see SMA, want to die, want to kill your... My children must eat SMA, 50K for one container, that's what my child will eat. What did that child, what did you bring into this world? Nothing. One more scripture. 1 Timothy 4:8. And then I'll just try and run through the teaching and then... So this is the first law. The law of what? Rightful ownership. We need to understand what we truly own, what is truly yours. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The only thing that is yours is your life. The only thing that you have, it's an illusion. Your phone, your house, your land, your car. You know, how many of you have ever, when you buy a new car, you don't allow anybody to touch it? You just see the way they're telling you, please be careful, it's new. 6 months later, you use that car to buy pure water. And then what happened to all that fire? Before you know it, your eyes is on another car. But remember, he's mentioning range. You know the way I'm feeling right now, eh? Range, come. There's one G-Wagon I saw. Mashatalabaya. It's a good car. Those kind of cars that when you start, you say, hello, me and my guys came to see you. You know, you're driving in traffic and you pass. You just slow down. Say, no, please enter. No, please. Ladies first, please enter. It's an illusion. My shoe, my house, the most popular one, my money. All that you have is an illusion of self-worth. For the day you die, when my father died 3-4 years ago, my father was very big on clean spaces. My father was very finicky, bathes in the morning, bathes at night. You know, he's very finicky. When I went to the hospital, when I came to identify the body, where I saw that my father was placed in the mortuary, I almost said, can't you tell the people to clean this place before they put you on it? But you see, after you die, you don't have control over anything in your life. My father did not know whether we wore him suits to bury him. My father did not know whether we bathe him. Nothing. And it should get us to start thinking. This is the foundation of stewardship. For if you don't even understand the grand scheme of things, the little things, we die over the little things, not knowing that there are bigger reasons to survive. When you live for nothing. No, what did they say? When you live for something, you die for nothing. When you don't live for something, you die for nothing. Some people are dying for money. Some people are dying for property. Some people are dying. Listen, I know of a man that the wife and the children were estranged to him. And after he died, God had blessed them. So they said they didn't want. There are people living in one of his houses now. They've lived there for 20 years. Nobody has come to ask them for rent. Because the children don't want to know what happened to his property. So the tenants, now have free house. They don't even know who he is. There's some of his houses that the wife and the children did not know he had. So the houses are just existing there now. Nobody's coming for money again. We really need to get away from that shallow, you know, my car, my house. Some people can die for their towel.
This is my towel.
How dare you use me? Oh, you have dirtied my towel. Towel. What is towel in the grand scheme of things?
The truth is, nothing really belongs to us, but everything actually belongs to God. There is nothing you have that you were not given. Even when you say, it's my salary, I earned it. The skill you have. The Bible says, for every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father of lights. So even the thing that you pride yourself in was a gift. Even the thing you pride yourself in, the law of rightful ownership. Who truly owns your life? Oh, I wanted to sleep. I'm not in the mood to pray. I'm not up for prayer. Let me just sleep. Because you think you own your life. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, God says, I take life like this, and I choose whom I give life, and then I choose whom I take life from. We plan. We say, I will see you tomorrow. What is your proof of tomorrow? You know, Sam, tomorrow we have office meeting, we need to review. We say these things, but the truth is, how do we know that we will get to tomorrow? We own nothing. God owns everything. We were born naked, meaning that we came into this world with nothing, literally. We need to realize that we are more passengers in the journey of life. We are more of passengers in the journey of life. When the Bible says a man's life does not consist of the things he has, it says don't die over the things that perish. If you're going to die, die because of posterity, not prosperity. Die because of something meaningful with your life. At least before I die, I've given my children $100 million. The Bible says a wayward child can guarantee failure of any successful man. One wayward child. We are killing ourselves over what we have no control over. I know people that their children have sold the house they were living in while they were inside. So when the child was born, you were thanking God that you have a child. You were naming him powerful names. Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Julius Caesar. You know, you were preparing him to take over you while you yet live. Everything we have in the course of our lives, we were given. Even inheritance. The whole idea of inheritance is even the biggest dimension of giving. So if your father dies today and leaves 100 billion, in the eyes of the world, you have become a billionaire. But in the eyes of God, someone has just given you a gift called 100 billion. That's all. So it doesn't mean that you're better than somebody else. It doesn't mean you're more important than somebody else. See, if this foundation will sink into your heart, it will truly help you know what is truly important with life. Some of us don't fully understand that we are spirit beings experiencing humanity. A lot of us are living like living beings experiencing spirituality. So we pray once in a while. We worship once in a while. Sometimes if you miss Sunday service, that means in 14 days you didn't pray. Some of us that miss service for a whole month, not as if we went to church, even the Sunday we went in church, for a whole month. And we are saying, it's this money. Pastor, you know the way this money. See, I understand what you're saying. But you see, let me just say, this God, he's the real deal. Every other thing is smoke. See, money. The way money comes is the way money goes. You can think you have control of money, but one of these days we'll get to teach it. You can think you have control of money. I've seen the most decent of people become monsters when money comes into their lives. They were honorable, they were polite, they were friendly, they were loving, they were kind until money entered their hands.
Suddenly their talk changed. They started talking like people that don't. The Bible says they took leave of their senses. They took leave from their senses. They started, people that they know that they are their father's mates, they begin to say things like, how are you? You don't chop. You take leave of your senses because there's money in your pocket. It's foolishness. See, today's on, for the whole of this month, we're going to teach stewardship. By the time we are done, everybody will just be different. Say, can I use your shoe? Is it not shoe? I didn't say you should give someone your shoe, but I'm just saying. The temptation is to think that true abundance is found in possession when it is actually found in stewarding life's benefits. The temptation is to assume that abundance comes from the things you have. I've gone to felicitate. What is mourning when you go to see someone? Empathize with, yes, sympathize with someone. And I reached the house and we both sat down and were crying. And there was nothing other than he thought money was going to make him happy. Now he has it, he's still not happy. So P.I., what do we do? Now I have it, but I'm still unhappy. You know, it's an illusion. There's one young lady that said, I would rather cry in a Ferrari than laugh in a Beetle. You know, we come up with all kinds of things to console ourselves. So when she said, I would rather laugh in a Ferrari than cry in a Beetle, I said, so that means she's okay for them to be beating you now. She said, is it not beat? She's a pata-pata black eye, pata-pata foundation, pata-pata mascara, lashes. You just put lashes. Because we've not truly understood what real happiness is. We struggle with this concept. We struggle. Listen. If we understand that all things belong to God and nothing belongs to us, we will constantly seek to find God's will. When you find God's will, it's easy to appreciate God's resources. There are people you're wondering, there are some boys in this country that can come together and build power plants, true or false. There are boys in this country that we know. We read all their Forbes, we read all their stories. But see, we need to understand. See, once you don't understand purpose, you will never be able to fulfill destiny. Some of them might have even said when they were much younger that, don't worry, when I have money, everybody around me will never suffer. It's when they had money that everybody around them began to suffer. Suddenly they became a principality to themselves. Nobody was able to reach them again. Understanding who really owns everything is the most important thing. Understanding why we own everything we currently have is also important. We must understand, we need to first comprehend, why do we have? Was it because we were smart? That's the question. Haven't you seen graduates? I've seen a master's degree holder who's driving a bus in Lagos. True or false? I've seen people that didn't go to school one day build massive houses in the village and have parties every week. True or false? So why is that so? Was it because they were smarter? Was it because they were better? See, when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Abuse is abnormal use. The moment you lose sight of what is truly important, everything you have becomes unimportant. The day you think that your husband is not important, you will abuse him. The day you think that your wife is no longer important, you will abuse her. For the young people, the day you think your parents are no longer important, you will disrespect them. Purpose is what gives meaning to pursuits. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will not chase after it. A lot of people don't know the purpose of prayer. That's why they don't pray. It's not because prayer is bad or the devil. They don't know the purpose of prayer. They don't think prayer changes. A lot of people pray not because they know God will answer. They pray because they know that's what Christians are supposed to do. So they don't even expect solution. So after praying, they still make a long list of people that are going to go and harass for the miracle. So they're not really expecting the miracle to come from God. It's what Christians do. We pray. But you see, if you understand this foundation, the law of rightful ownership, it changes the way you treat yourself. If I know that the reason why God has blessed me is to be an extension of his hand, blessing somebody else will not be a problem. But when I don't know, I go into competition mode. So I say things like, how can he have two hands and yet come and beg? Do you think that if he had, he would have begged you? There are a lot of things we say completely pointless from the grand, because we don't understand the grand scheme of things. There are people that are in situations that they cannot explain how they got into. You did everything right. You put all the, you listened to God. You did everything right. Immediately that money entered, that thing died. Yesterday I was, I came in the afternoon. I had a meeting. After the meeting, I was studying. And as I was leaving, one young man was waiting for me outside. And he's from one of these very big churches. And he's a good friend of mine. So we were just talking. And he said, he just got a text, showed me a text from his landlord. And the woman had reported him to the police station. So the woman told him to report. So the police just sent him a text. Say, please report to so-so-so station and come and clarify yourself. You know, so when he showed that, I said, hey, my brother, I would have loved to help you, but right now I don't have any. He said he doesn't even understand how he got here. That 4 months ago, he had like half or three quarter of the money. And he asked the woman, please, can I pay half, then pay the balance later? The woman said, no, she doesn't want any half measure. You should pay the full money in. So it was in that time that he was waiting for the money to be complete that he finished it. So it was in that other 2 weeks. And now he doesn't even know what to do. So I told him, please just go and visit her. Say she has involved police. I said, then you to be a man of integrity. Go and see her at home. Maybe don't go to police. Go and see her at home. And say you're not planning to run away. But right now, there's nothing you can do about it. You don't have anything to give. When we begin to think, when we begin to reason and see as God sees, it changes our perceptions about certain things. We are stewards. Somebody say, I'm a steward. Say it like you mean. I say, I'm a steward. You were given because God entrusted, God has a plan for why resources get into your hand. You are a steward. What a steward is he holds or manages resources for the real owner on how to dispense, manage, or multiply. He's in charge of the resources. The story, Mark, is this story in Mark, where the master was going on a long journey, and he called his three servants, his three stewards, and he entrusted certain resources to them. There is a higher plan that is always at work. So a steward is holding, keeping, managing, and judiciously using the resources given to him by the true owner of all things, which is God. A steward is holding, keeping, managing, and judiciously using the resources given to him by the true owner, God. The way resources happen in this world, you can't truly explain it. I was talking with a friend of mine because of the week. There was a lady that won the UK Lotto. She won £100 million. And she was living in a council flat at the time she won £100 million. £100 million is about 70 billion naira. She was in her 50s or 60s. So she's spending 10 million every day, struggling. She can't finish it till she dies. If she is short of, the only way you finish those kinds of money, if you are cooking, you are tearing it and putting it in soup, or you are cooking it in soup. Think about it. So when you hear some people, and then you hear that they are broke, then you're not asking yourself, see this money is spiritual, the way it comes is the way it goes. You know Tyson, from his 19th birthday to his 40th birthday, was one of the highest earning boxers of all time. He had earned over $300 million then, not now. $300 million now times three will probably be like $900 million, almost a billion. And he finished it before his 50th birthday. Finished it completely. He finished. There was 1 month Tyson bought 82 cars in 1 month. How many days are in a month? How do you even achieve these great mysteries? And it wasn't normal car. I wasn't buying Peugeot, Tico, Nokia. He was buying cars. You know, there's some cars that are just mobility. Just let's help me get to it. Then they are creatures. They are machines. He had 82 in 1 month. You know when you've taken leave of your senses? Once you don't know the purpose of a thing, you abuse it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. This is the foundation. You must understand the law of rightful ownership. If you know God owns your life, you will treat your life better. We don't know God owns our lives. That's why for the ladies, sleep with anybody that comes our way. We don't know. If we knew our body was God's own, we wouldn't treat our bodies that way. For the men that think they're Balogu Fanta, share the phone. Just share the phone. We don't know that God owns us. I don't know if you understand what I'm telling you. If you knew that God owned you, you would treat your body with respect. The law of rightful ownership. We don't know. When I watch those 500-pound bodies, I'm disgusted. I wonder whether these people are 1 pound. You see one lady. If you see the lady, if you see her, she couldn't move. They wheel her around everywhere. They use crane to carry a human being. Because you don't know the purpose of food. You think that's why God gave food? To kill yourself, you would die on this mountain. We would die. We eat this food to death. Because you don't know the purpose of anything. When we were small, you sing songs like, some have food but cannot eat. Some can eat but have no food. Some people have turned it to, I have food, I will die eating. No, don't put glory to God there. It's not, God is not in that setup. We are custodians. So everything you have is a gift. Be thankful for your 10-bedroom house. Be thankful for your 1-room apartment. Be thankful for your 500 shoes. Be thankful for your 1 shoe. There is a purpose to everything that God does for us. You need this to sink. See, if you don't understand this, you would destroy yourself. There are people who have gone into that whole apostasy idea. So they will say things like, no, I won't give it to church. I will just go and share it. I'll go and give it to the poor. And I ask them, how come it's God's own that you give to the poor? Why don't you give your own? How come it's your tithe that you give to the poor? Why don't you take from your own 90 and give to the poor? It's still a perception. We think we have sense. We think we are smarter than Jehovah that gave us all things. If we truly understand that our life is not ours, that's why the Bible says we should walk circumspectantly, redeem the times. Today, 20-year-olds are having cardiac arrests. And you are wondering, that is the prime of the heart. How can the heart die at 20 years? The heart was designed to live 120 years. The normal heart was designed for minimum of 120 years. How come it dies in its first 20 years? Today, the kind of sicknesses in this world, only God knows. We are hearing that there are intelligent diseases now. Of course, now. They adapt. If you don't continually take the drugs that maintains it, you stop for a while, the bacteria will become intelligent to that drug. Next time you take it again, it's not working again. The drug, the bacteria said this one. Oh, she has dodged it. We don't even understand what we're talking about. We want to die on posterity. Biologically, ecologically, the earth cannot survive for another 100 years. Except we have a plan B. I know some of you don't like to hear that. Ecologically, the world we live in today cannot survive another 100 years. We have finished it. All of us want house. We don't want bush. Bush is what keeps the earth. We are killing all the bush. So how are we going to live? You will see big 100-acre land. You will see one small garden by the gate. The rest is cement, concrete. Carbon dioxide. That's how they die. Inside that house, they will die inside. We are claiming, somebody said, education is killing us. Books are made from trees. And the more you destroy trees, the more you make books. So the only way to stop education is to stop using trees. So he says it's education that is really killing us. Apparently he didn't want to go to school. We see, this thing must, say with me, I'm a steward. I am a faithful steward of God. What that means is you are thankful and you are conscious of the fact that all you have was given to you by the Lord. Your job is to judiciously handle and manage it. Now, why God is such a faithful God is you cannot hold, a pipe cannot allow water pass through it and it itself will not be wet. So the reason why God blesses you ultimately is for the world. But the truth is, as you help the world, there will be proof that you have money to help the world. So you will have random cars here and there, houses, real estate. You know, those things will be there. But that's not the reason why you live. Some people want to die working. You know, work is not why God created you. But you see, we've turned the tables around and somehow we justify it. And we don't know that it just shows a lack of understanding of spiritual things on a very large scale. People that complain when they tell them to pray don't understand what prayer is. That's why they are complaining. They don't know. So please stop getting angry when you say, maybe tell your husband or tell your wife and it's not. They don't understand. If they knew, they would treat you better. They don't know. If you know better, you would do better. I'm almost done. This is the first law. There are about 50, but throughout this month, we'll do Wednesdays, Sundays, and Thursdays. So this is the law of rightful ownership. Never forget that everything you have. Paul says, I am who I am today by the mercies of our God. Thank God for your BSc. Thank God for your masters. Thank God. But in eternity, masters will not, God will not say all the master's degree holders. You know, when we get to the Bema seat of judgment, all our masters, everybody that did masters this way to the right, you know, all of us that are doing masters, peace out. And then when there are still too many, how many of you, all of you that have done your doctorate? I'm sure I told some of you, I'm doing my doctorate, and sometimes I'm regretting why I even started. Because it is demanding 24/7. Should I want you all this knowledge? Where will we use it? Some things we won't learn in the class. I'm wondering when will we use it. Doctorate, they don't teach. It's not lecturing, it's conversation. At that stage, they're saying no knowledge is permanent. So if you can debunk any idea, they'll make corrections in the text. The next session, you will see your correction is not part of the knowledge. So if you've not read, Sam is always the one that's always seen me go through 2 days before the next lecture. If you see me reading, he's like a mad person. Because when you reach there, the teacher will not ask. He's not a teacher. He's a coordinator. So he'll just say, chapter 9 on the book on corporate management. What did you learn? If I've not read it, this is usually my answer. Good question. You know, but I'm very benevolent, so I can allow my colleagues also jump in. So what do you think? So it doesn't matter what you're doing. So you're getting all those qualities. So please understand that I've not said don't do it. Like I said, I'm doing my doctorate. But you see, you need to understand the true source of all life. Don't get carried away by this. It's good. But you see, it does not stand. It does not mean anything in eternity. It means nothing. So if you're giving someone a millionaire, don't go and disturb everybody in the world because you gave the person a millionaire. It means nothing in the grand scheme of things. That 1 million will not take the person to heaven. 1 billion will not take the person to heaven. 1 trillion. There's no amount of whatever you give that can buy the soul of a man. True or false? So don't worry. Do it because it's God's resource. It's ironic that this is the message I'm preaching on my birthday. Now, wow, it's a very hard one. This means that everything we have was given to us, including our lives. Are you a faithful steward of the mind that God has given to you? Do you know that your mind scientifically cannot forget anything it learns? Your mind is a muscle. Your brain is a muscle. Meaning that if you don't exercise it, it will never become strong. So God gave you a brain. God did not give you a brain to be evil sharp. God gave you a brain to be good sharp. Some people are evil sharp. Even children, if you don't watch them, their brains can begin to turn around for evil. Children are very manipulative. Sometimes, if you see the way they are crying, once you give them that thing, you will not know that that cry was dust. Once they get it, the cry will just end. Just say, ah! And you're wondering, so what was this child doing? It was manipulation. Are you faithful with the brain God is giving to you? So there are books. Some of us have concluded that we can't read again. Say, no, read, no, I would die. But I know people who read, I know people who are advanced in age that read a lot, even in this room. There's one man that reads a lot, wearing a white shirt over there. Oh, most of you wouldn't know him. White shirt with glasses. He can read for Africa. You know what that means? It means that the brain, if you would work the brain can work more. You must be responsible for the life God gave you. 5 years, that's 600 pounds. Were you sleeping when you got there? Was it one yam you ate and became 600 pounds? Are you faithful? Are you a faithful steward of the body that God gave you? Some people are very faithful. Some people have become too faithful with their body. They're almost like this now. Are you a faithful steward of the gifts and talent God has given to you? Some of you have unbelievable managerial skills. Some of you have logistic skills. Some of you have abilities to do amazing things. Are you faithful with it? Some of us have gone to bury our talents. What will happen when the master returns? The Bible says, is that one that they will take it from you and give it to one that usually is wisely. You come into the house of God and then you think you are a ghost. You have skills. You know. You see things that can be corrected. You work in a corporate space. You know that this is not the best that this thing can be. But you just keep quiet. After the service, you just bow and you just run out and head off because it's not your business. Because you don't know that the reason why God gave you is to do for Him, not for you. As you do for yourself, you will see the benefits. But it's as you do for God, you will see eternal rewards. So everybody here, see all these guys sitting on these blue chairs, they're busy people too. It's the same time that we all have that they take out to plan the service. It's not as if, because I'm the pastor, God gives me 29 hours. It's the same 24 hours that I'm expected to still be a good husband. I'm expected to still be a good father. I'm expected to still be a good brother, an in-law, an uncle, a cousin. All these things God has given to us to bless us. But you see, if you don't understand the law of rightful ownership, you will not give preeminence to what is most important. What is most important is, how is your life influencing the purpose of God on the earth? Are you faithful? Are you a faithful steward with the resources that the Lord has put to you? You must be faithful on a daily basis. We must be responsible stewards, meaning that we can be irresponsible, being accountable for the things our Father has given to us to both benefit us and to expand His work on the earth. So how are you living your life daily? How do you show God's love to your world daily? How do you support God's agenda on the earth daily? How are you a helpful role model in stewardship towards other people? How are you living your daily life? What are you doing every day to show that you are responsible for what God has called you to do? Beyond the yard sale, how many of us know that it's okay for us to have projects where we bless people that don't have to give us anything? It doesn't always have to favor us. That's okay sense. Business, business sense. It doesn't always, God blesses us. We are channels of the blessings of God. And I need this thing to sink really deep in your heart. Because if you don't understand this, you will be using sense for God. God is not a man. If you use sense for me, I might not know. The Bible says He knows the intentions of your heart. You know what that means? If you give with the wrong motive, God knows. If you give with the wrong motive. So what I'm saying is, you must understand first that all that I have was given to me by God. First, I am a steward. I am responsible for everything God has given to me. So it doesn't make sense to know how to sing, be in a place where people are singing, and then do not contribute your quota. That's stewardship. You know that the reason why God gave you is to be able to express it to the world. So why aren't you using it? For instance, Yomi is a comedian. His real job is comedy. But growing up where he grew up, he knows how to play this. That's why he's using it there. It's stewardship. Some of you are good with numbers. Some of you are good with spreadsheets. And we need those kinds of skill sets in the house of God. But you just waltz away. Some of you are good in logistics and planning. And then instead of being part of what God is doing, your own job is to stand at the corner and say how they didn't do it well. Meanwhile, you have the skill. Almost as if you are waiting for someone to come and call you. You know you are a superstar. You know, you just come and say, well, finally, they've acknowledged that God is going to use me in this house. I'm done. Whether we think plenty or little, the principle is the same. And I'll close with that. For those that say, I have small money, that's why. Not everything was given by God. The one that has a billion and the one that has 10 naira was given by God. So the principle is not how much you have. The principle is, are you a steward of what you have? Have you been a faithful steward? Sometimes when you see the life of some people that don't have resources, you are wondering, how can someone be this irresponsible, even with the little he has? They will drink as if there's no tomorrow. The man, total, all he has home and abroad is 20K. He will spend like 11,500 Friday night. Saturday night, he will do follow-up on Friday. Saturday night, he will do follow-up, Then on Sunday, he will now become a... Monday, he will now come to the office. He's a liability to everyone around him. Irresponsibility. Some people think about God last. That's what stewardship is. So God is after they finish the money. Ah, I didn't tithe. Next month, God, don't worry, next month. Because you think God needs your money. You really think that your money is God's problem. It's a principle of stewardship. Some of you have been made sons. You are causing your children, your parents, heartache. You are irresponsible. You don't know why. God made you their son to be able to be a shoulder, a pillar for them to lean on. Some of you, God has blessed with the gift of friendship. You know how to just parley people to do the right thing. You know, but then you just go into your world and say, well, I can't keep health. All man for himself is a dog-eat-dog world. This is the first law of stewardship. The law of rightful ownership. Wake up every day and know that your life is God's. If you know that, you will offer it to God in the morning before you start. When your resources come, you would ask yourself, how can I be part of God's work? Your friendships, you will understand your purpose in their lives. The law of rightful ownership. You must understand this and let this thing sink into your spirit. It will change the way you treat yourself and those around you. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. I pray that in the month of July to the end of the year, we will become more responsible stewards. Some of you that have not read at all this year. Irresponsible mental stewards. God gave you a brain. You know, believers, when we say, from now to the end of the year, God will give you creative ideas in Jesus, all of you will shout. When we finish shouting, nobody will read them. Those that are reading, the Lord is blessing their businesses. And you're wondering, well, we're all in this church. How come he's blowing? He's reading. He's researching. He's using his brain properly. Some of us want jobs that we know we don't have the capacity for. Say, God, I call forth MD position. I take it. I call it forth. Say, Pastor, join faith with me. I want to be the MD. I take it. It's mine. You know that the word MD simply just means managing director, principal servant. The one that thinks about everything first before himself. That's why he's the boss. But you see, we get carried away with car driver and AC, and we assume that the boss role is just for money. Don't you know that if you are a faithful steward, more resources will be released to you? That's how it works. You don't want to read. You don't want to plan. You don't want to be responsible, but you want all the money. Something is wrong with that philosophy. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our hearts to pray. For the next 3 minutes, I just want to just speak to God concerning the things you've heard today. The law of rightful ownership. Are there ways you've abused your body? Are there ways you've abused your mind? Are there ways you've abused your skill sets and you're not using them judiciously, fully to the maximization of the gifts of God in your life? I want you to bow your hearts now and pray. If there's anything you're currently indulging in, currently getting yourself involved with, that is showing irresponsibility in your stewardship of your body, in your stewardship of your imagination, in your stewardship of your spirituality, I want you to ask that the Lord will help you. Say, God, help me understand the law of rightful ownership. Help me appreciate the law of rightful ownership. Help me comprehend the law of rightful ownership. In the name of Jesus. Let's spend 2 minutes praying about that. Just pray about it. Pray about it. Sometimes what you need is not money. What you need is clarity. Sometimes what you need is understanding. What have you done with the ideas God gave you 5 years ago? 3 years ago, you've been irresponsible about it. That's why somebody else has done it. And then you will say, oh, but I was thinking about this 10 years ago. What did you do with it? You need to become responsible. Say, God, teach me spiritual stewardship. What am I doing with Bible study? What am I doing with praying? What am I doing with worship? What am I doing with evangelism? What am I doing with intercession? What am I doing with preaching the gospel? What am I doing with thinking right thoughts? What am I doing with the resources that the Lord has put in my care? What are you doing with it? What are you doing? Do you have financial stewardship? Can God trust you with $1 billion and then he'll start looking for you in church? Because you've got too money now, church is no longer important for you. What is your mental stewardship? What are you doing with your thought processes? Are you creating on the earth or are you destroying on the earth? What is your marital stewardship? Are you responsible to that woman God gave you? Are you responsible to that man God gave you? Are you responsible to those parents that the Lord gave you? Are you responsible for those children that the Lord gave you? What are you doing? Are you an absentee father who thinks that dropping money is what parenting really means? Teach me the law of rightful ownership. If you know that God gave you those children, you will take care of them well. If you know that God gave you that man, you will protect him well. If you know that God gave you that woman, you will treat it better. That is how it works. The law of rightful ownership. Some of you have said, I will lose weight. I will lose weight. I'm overweight. What are you doing with the law? What are you doing with the body God gave you? What are you doing with the mind God gave you? Please, I hope we're praying. Just in your own words, think about these things. What is truly important for you? You know, selfishness is another word for abuse of stewardship. You don't know why you were given. That's why you are hoarding it. It's a poverty behavior. Someone that hoards is a poverty behavior. That God help me to be a steward. Let me take my full place on the earth as a steward. While you're praying, let me help you understand this. That the man that you say is a billionaire and he has plenty of money is not helping anybody. Think about it. Some of them are employing thousands of people. How many people have you employed? That's what stewardship is. Stewardship goes pari passu with prosperity. If you're a good steward, prosperity will come to you. If you treat your spirit right, you will enjoy the presence of God. If you treat your finances right, you will enjoy prosperity on the earth. If you treat your body right, you will enjoy long life and health. If you treat your marriage right, you will enjoy years and years of blissful happiness in relationships. That's how it works. The law of rightful ownership. Ask that the Lord will teach you. Ask that the Lord will teach you. I pray that by the Holy Spirit, understanding will come in the name of Jesus. That by the power of the Holy Ghost, we will learn to be stewards indeed of the work of God in our hands.